Thank you. He's cleaning the house. She saw the love of the broom. I just feel that right now. That he's making space. That Jesus, I love you is the only thing. That Jesus, I see you is the only thing. When we say more than anything, I just feel like he's sweeping out the things that don't belong. And he's making space for Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Lord, come make space in my heart. Not just enough room, but all the room. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I
just put your hand on someone to your left or right, whoever's closest to you, just put your hands on them. And I want you to pray for them. Pray for them like you'd want somebody to pray for you. Just lift your voices and pray. Whatever God lays on your heart, just start to pray.
Good morning, everyone. How are you? How are you today? Stand with us and worship with us and just have a killer Sunday morning. Put your hands together. If you want to.
We lift the name of
So this next song, Living Sacrifice, just lay it all out. Whatever you have to give to the Lord this morning, whatever you want to put in God's ear, just lay it on the altar. Give it to him and worship with me. Even when you don't think you have much to give, you do. All on the altar.
Fire, fall, I will be a living. Hallelujah. Come on, church. I want you to worship him right now. God, we thank you. We glorify you in this house today. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. We thank you for who you are, for what you've done. God, we bless you, and we're not content. We're not content to stand by. We have come to an encounter to worship you, Lord. Come on.
Verse again, and we'll get to it, but when we sing fall, fire, fall, what you're doing is we're opening our hearts, we're opening this space, this church, and we're saying, Lord, move amongst us. How many of you want to feel God move and see God move in your life? Amen. It's my longing of my heart. But at this time in the service, we're going to have the opportunity, if you need prayer for anything, we're going to sing one more song. We're going to worship the Lord. But our prayer team are going to be at the front. And if you need prayer for anything, don't feel shy. Just come on forward. Someone will pray with you and agree with you. We believe he's the healer. Amen. He is the healer. Pam, can you testify he's the healer? You know, Pam had hip surgery 2 weeks ago, and she's on high heels this morning. She was off of a walker, like, immediately, and all glory to the Lord, right? That's what I was saying. I was saying it doesn't matter what place you're at. If you're at a place of taking medication, or if you're at a place of needing surgery, if you're at a, whatever you're at, let God in. Let him work his super on your natural. Amen. Don't ever say, I'm going to leave this up to the doctors. Let him in to help you with whatever you're dealing with. So at this time of the service, I'm going to pray over those that are watching online, and then come on forward as we worship God and continue to worship him, because it brings the presence of the Lord in this place. Amen. Father, I thank you for each and every person that is watching today. Father, those that have needs, you know, right where you are, just tell the Lord what it is that you need from him. And I just release the healing power of God. There is no distance in prayer. I thank you for the power of God that flows into their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. That healing begins to manifest in their body. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. That you are the healer, you are the provider, you are the God who's a God of miracles still today. We thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, we bless you. It's not much. God, just one more. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else before a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This week I had an issue where I can't even say almost because I'm meant to be here, but it looked like I might not be here. I couldn't speak, I couldn't sing, I couldn't praise, and my life looked like it was fleeting. But my God is faithful. My God is a healer. My God is for me. So the enemy may try and stifle and close my mouth, but every breath in my body, as long as I can open my mouth, I will lift up a praise unto God, for he is worthy of all praise. Amen. Hallelujah. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs.
Come on.
Get up and praise the Lord.
Oh, come on, my soul.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Oh, come on, my soul.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs.
Come on, church.
Get up and praise the Lord.
Oh, 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 oh. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Up your song, cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, cause all that I have is a much, but I'm nothing else fit for my King, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's from our very heart. You just sense that worship going up before the Lord. You know, if you go and read in the book of Revelation and you look at the setting, when you see that setting, they come before the throne of God and they fall face down before Him and they just begin to worship Him.
Hallelujah.
That's exactly what we're doing right in this
Amen.
Place.
Amen. I just feel like we must pray for Monique. I want to ask Monique to come and let us pray. You know, on Thursday night, the worship team were rehearsing like they do every Thursday, and they were kind of almost two-thirds through their rehearsal, and we were up to Monique's song, and then Monique, her lips started tingling, and she couldn't speak, and she said, call the You went all numb, called 911. They called 911. They came in real fast, rushed her to the hospital. They let me know. Of course, we prayed immediately. And so I just want us to pray right now and trust God together over Monique. Father, we thank you for Monique, and we thank you for your hand that is upon her. We thank you that you love her, Father. And we thank you for the gift and the blessing that she is to us as a church. And Father, we know that Jesus is a healer. And we know, Lord Jesus, that you yourself, you took her sickness and you bore all of her diseases. And by your wounds, she has been healed. Healing belongs to her. And so we rebuke all sickness and disease. We take authority over all sickness, all disease. We command you to go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I release your healing power and your healing anointing to flow through Monique right now. I command you to be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. In the name of Jesus, I decree and speak healing and health to you. And I thank you, Father, for healing Monique. I thank you for restoring her health. I thank you that she's healthy and strong. And we give you all the praise. And all God's people said amen. I agree in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
I'm reminded of the fact that, you know, because the Word of God promises healing, sometimes people get prayed for and they feel better and they say, oh, I felt God's touch on my life. And then they go away and then they have a pain and they go, oh, I thought I was healed. Do you know that nothing, the devil will leave nothing unchallenged. He will leave no truth of God's Word unchallenged. You hear the Word, God works in your heart and you receive it, and the devil will challenge it. You give and he will challenge it. You'll get an unexpected bill that could bring fear. And whatever it is, whether it's healing, we got to hold on to it by faith. We got to take it by faith and hold on to it by faith. Amen. Praise God. Well, won't you just greet somebody, tell them how good they look today, and you may be seated. Get a notepad, get ready for the Word of God today. And to our Send Church members, if you're watching online, if you can get to church, make your way over here because we miss seeing you, don't we? And just want to welcome everybody, welcome those that are here for the first time. If you are here for the first time, we don't want to embarrass you in any way. We just like to give you a visitor pack where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind waving your hand? That we could welcome you. I don't. God bless you. Welcome. Give him a good welcome. We love having visitors in our church. In there's a couple of things. One being a guest card. If you just take a moment and fill it out at the end of the service, an offering bucket comes by. Drop it in. Pastor loves to give you a call. So yes, he does. We were talking about it yesterday. We were saying how. By nature, he was never a talker. But my youngest daughter and I, we were talking, and when you get into pastoring, you do a lot of talking. And he loves talking to people. Really loves talking to people. So expect him to call you. Praise God. Well, for those you know, those who are regulars, we pass a clipboard by. Won't you just fill in your name, any detail changes? It just helps us keep track and shepherd the flock. So thank you for filling that out as it comes by. And also, we always keep in touch with our easy texting, which is a text system. We won't overwhelm you with texts. Don't you hate it when you get like somebody every day? We don't do that. Once a week or for special events, we'll send something to you just to notify you of what's coming up. So if you don't get our text messages, text the word ASCEND to 313131 and you'll get the necessary church information. To let you know, those that are watching on Facebook, we have many people watch on Facebook Live. We have people that watch, share it. Go ahead and share it. Other people watch from all over the world. You've got to love technology. You know, it's like social media. It's like the love-hate. The good stuff and the bad stuff. This is part of the good stuff where you can share the gospel still. You can share a live church service. So go ahead and share that. Let us know where you're watching from. We appreciate you being a part of the service today. You can, different ways that you can watch us, Facebook, Ascend, our website, which is ascendchurch.us, on our Ascend Church app, which you get to by just going to our website and it'll lead you to our app, on YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter, and as I said, on Facebook. So we're so glad that you watch on any one of those different mediums. If you're facing, let me tell you, when you need, I do this all the time. When whatever I'm facing, I look for a teaching that covers that subject, and I just put it on in my car, I put it on in my phone, and I just let it play while I'm cooking, and I fill my heart with the Word of God. So that's what those things are for. You feed your faith with the Word, with good teaching, amen? And let me just remind you as we go to the Word of God today, I want to remind you of our four main purposes of our church. The first one that we always consider in everything we do is that you would know God. Know Him better than you do now, better than you did last year, better than you did when you got saved. Not as good as you're going to know Him by next year, but better. Amen. First of all, that you would know Him, that you would find freedom in every area of your life. It's a journey. We're growing in a lot of things. That you discover your purpose. And lastly, that you make a difference with your life. Amen. It's what I want. How about you? Praise God. You look very cute, I must say, Demony.
Praise the Lord. Can I ask Angie and Aaron to come forward? We're going to pray over Aaron and Angie today. Woo.
Good vibes. Good vibes.
Aaron and Angie are going to be moving to Colorado. Come a little more this way. In like 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks' time. And so we sure are sorry to see you leave, as I know your parents are too. But we love you, and we are going to be praying for you.
Yes.
And we want to pray over you today and just bless you in the name of Jesus and trust God to guide you and open the doors for you. And use you wherever you are.
And we're so thankful for everything they've been doing in our church. They're so behind the scenes that you may not have even realized. But Angie puts Pastor Steve's message together for the screens for him. All of those things.
Every week.
Always working in the media. We'll miss you for those reasons, but far more than that. And your boys. Pray.
Let's do that. Father, we thank you for Aaron and we thank you for Angie. We thank you for their boys and for the blessing that they have been to us, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would just guide them, continue to lead them, Lord. We thank you for your favor that is upon them. We thank you for protecting them, Lord, wherever they may go. In the name of Jesus, Father, we just bless them right now. We thank you for favor, protection, strength, guidance. We thank you for using them, Lord, wherever they may be, that they are a light that shines in a world of darkness. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that you will return them to us. I pray that somehow they will come back, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Can I just say something I hear from my heart? The Lord says that you've longed to hear his voice and to follow his lead, and you truly have placed your lives on the altar, not just that of your lives, but the lives of your sons, and you have asked the Lord to direct you, and he is directing you. And some of the steps that you're taking are almost blind steps of faith, because you hear, but you don't hear it all. You hear go, but you don't know every step of the way, which is the way God leads us usually, because it requires faith. But he says this to you, that the steps you're taking today are steps that are going to echo in the future, in the lives of your children. And you're taking steps because I'm directing you. And even though you don't understand it, you're stepping out in faith. And I will reward what you are doing throughout eternity, because my kingdom is going to be affected in the years to come by the steps you're taking now, says the Lord. Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise God. We love you guys, and we are going to miss you. We sure are. But when I'm in Colorado, I'll come and ski with you, right? Praise the Lord. Thank you to our worship team who did such a wonderful job today, like they do every single Sunday. I want to welcome all those who are watching us online. We're so glad. We're so glad that you joined with us today. And it's great to see you all today. Tell your neighbor one more time, I'm glad to see you today. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that it is your will and desire that we would live under the open windows of heaven. As I speak your word today, Father, I thank you that you help me, that you anoint me, that you speak through me, Lord. I thank you that you carry your word by your anointing to every person's heart, causing faith to rise, removing all doubt and unbelief. Thank you for bringing revelation and understanding to each person. And we give you all the praise for everything that is said and everything that is done in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Today, I want to speak to you about open heaven's windows. This is where you live under the open windows of heaven, and God pours blessings upon you. We all have come to places in our life where we reach our limits, where we've gone as far as our education, you know, may allow, or maybe we have a bad medical report. It says we're not going to get well. Or maybe we try to break that addiction, but we haven't been able to do it. It's easy very often to settle where we are and think that things can never change. But the scripture says in Malachi chapter 3, in verse 10, it says, in fact, I'm going to begin reading from verse 8. It says, "Will a man rob God? Surely not. And yet you have robbed me, but you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever rob you? You have robbed me of the tithes and the offerings due to me. And so the awesome curse of God is cursing you, for your whole nation has been robbing me. Bring all of the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. And if you do, I will open the windows of heaven for you. And I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try it. Let me prove it to you." Amen. Now, this is the only place in the entire Bible that tells us how we can open the windows of heaven in our life. There is no other scripture in the Bible that talks about what to do to open the windows of heaven other than this one. Think about that. And the way that you open the windows of heaven over your life is by tithing and by giving. And God says if we don't tithe, that we are robbing Him. Why are we robbing God if we don't tithe? Because the tithe belongs to the Lord. In Leviticus 27, verse 30, it says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's." It is the Lord's. Who does the tithe belong to? This is not a trick question. It is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Say, the tithe belongs to the Lord. Now, what is the tithe? Well, the New Living Translation says 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to Him as holy. So a tithe means 10%, a tenth, 10%. And the first 10% of all of our income belongs to God, according to the scriptures we've just read. And if we do not bring the tithe into the house of God, as He has instructed, in order to keep food in His house, then we rob from God because we withhold what belongs to Him. But when we are obedient to tithe, we honor God. That is how you honor the Lord. The scripture says in Proverbs 3, verse 10, "Honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of all your income, and He will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the finest wines." Honor the Lord by, how do you do that? By giving Him the first part, not the last part, the first part. The Passion Bible says it like this: glorify God with all of your wealth, honoring Him with your first fruits, with every increase that comes to you. Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings. Why will it overflow? Because the windows of heaven are open and God's pouring out blessings that are overflowing. When you tithe on all of your income, you honor God and you show that God, the Lord, is first in your life. Deuteronomy 14, verse 23 says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. The number one purpose of tithing, yes, it keeps food in God's house. But more than that, it shows that God is first in your life. When you tithe, you honor God. You show that He's first in your life. You prove that you trust in Him. And it opens the windows of heaven for you. Malachi 3:10 from the Contemporary English Version says, I am the Lord all-powerful, and I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so there will be food in my house. Then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. The English Revised Version says it like this. Try this test. Bring 1/10 of your things to me. Put them in the treasury. Bring food to my house. Test me. If you do these things, I will surely bless you. Good things will come to you like rain falling from the sky. You will have more than enough of everything. The Message Bible says, test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. Let me ask you a question. Would you like God to open up the windows of heaven and pour blessings upon you beyond anything you ever dreamed of? One, two, three. Well, that's what God says will happen. And can I tell you that I have tested God in this? I have proved this to be true. Has anyone else tested God in this? And can anyone else say, Pastor Steve, I tested God too? Anyone else? God has proved Himself to me more times than I can remember. Tithing opens the windows of heaven for you. Can I tell you right now, the devil hates this message. The devil hates it. When a preacher, a pastor talks about tithing and giving, you know why? Because the devil doesn't want Christians to prosper. Because the devil wants to cut off money to the body of Christ so that we cannot fund the gospel and proclaim the kingdom of God. The devil's going to come against the message of prosperity. He doesn't want preachers talking about money. Only 9% of Christians make more than $100,000 a year. Why? Because most churches don't teach what I'm going to teach you today. Most churches are not teaching this. I've heard Christians brag to me, my church doesn't talk about money, Pastor Steve. We just have a box at the door and people just give if they want to. What you don't teach people, they will lose. If I don't teach you what the Word of God says, the Bible says God confirms His word preached with signs following. If I don't preach on healing, people in the church will be sick and they won't be healed. If I don't preach on prosperity and tithing and giving, people in the church will struggle financially, because what you don't teach, people lose. Some people say, well, I don't believe tithing is for today. Do you think you just came up with that? Do you think you're so smart, you just figured out it's not for... I've heard that for the last 30 years multiple times. It's not new. Tithing's not for today. Some people say, well, we're under grace, Pastor Steve. We're not under the law. And I just give whatever I feel to give. You know, tithing is under the law, and that's in the Old Testament. Let me tell you, that is not true. And anyone who says that doesn't know what they're talking about. Because Abraham, who's called the father of our faith, he tithed 400 years before the law ever came about with Moses. Abraham was a tither. In fact, even before that, let's go back to the very beginning. In the Garden of Eden, Abel tithed. He brought the firstborn of his sheep to God. He tithed. Right back in Genesis. Moses included tithing into the law, and even Jesus himself said that we should tithe. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus said, "Woe upon you Pharisees and you other religious leaders, you hypocrites." Hypocrites. Telling me. "For you tithe down to the last mint leaf in your garden, but you ignore the important things, justice, mercy, faith. Yes, you should tithe." That's the words of Jesus himself. Yes, you should tithe, but you shouldn't leave the more important things undone. Jesus himself said that we should tithe. Jesus believed in tithing. And if Jesus is the Lord of our life, then we will obey and do what he says about tithing. When Jesus says you should tithe, that should be the end of it. Because Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say?" You see, if Jesus is Lord of your life, you do what he says. Now, you might have reached your limits on your own. There may be obstacles that you can't overcome, but here's the good news. You're not on your own. Because you're a tither, because you're honoring God, you are living under the open windows of heaven. And God is going to rain down upon you favor, good breaks, abundance. Jesus said in John 12:26, "If you want to be my disciple, follow me and you'll go where I'm going. And if you truly follow me as my disciple, the Father will shower his favor on your life." You see, if you're following Jesus as a disciple of Jesus, you'll do what he says, and he said you should tithe. And so when you do that, Jesus said the Father's going to shower favor upon your life. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Amen. The Living Bible says he'll give them to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to. The wisest man who ever lived beside Jesus was Solomon, King Solomon. And he said in Proverbs 21:21, "The lovers of God who chase after righteousness will find all their dreams come true, an abundant life drenched with favor and a fountain that overflows with satisfaction." When you honor God and you put him first in your life, and if God is first, then that means you'll be tithing. Then the windows of heaven will open for you and supernatural blessings will be poured out upon your life. I can tell you right now, some people are moving around, walking out. Demons get uncomfortable when you preach like this. That's the truth of the matter. Don't let the enemy take your attention right now. There's like a spiritual battle going on. Because the devil wants to keep you broke. And let me tell you what's amazing. The people who walk, people often who don't listen are the ones struggling the most. Now, the medical report maybe doesn't look good. But when you're living under the open windows of heaven, guess what? Healing's raining down on you. God can do what medical science can't do. You might have gone as far as you can go in your career, but under the open windows of heaven, increases raining down on you. Divine connections, opportunities being rained down on you. Maybe you haven't been able to break that addiction. Don't accept it that this is the way it's always going to be, because you've got an advantage. You are under the open windows of heaven, and it's just a matter of time before freedom is raining down upon you. See, sometimes we think we're at a disadvantage. We don't have the talent that we need. We don't have the connections. We don't have the experience. Well, Steve, if I was taller, if I had a better personality, if I knew the right people, then I would be successful for sure. I know. Listen, if you think you're at a disadvantage, you're going to live at a disadvantage. If you think that you are going to have lack, let me tell you, if you think lack, you're going to have lack. Instead of thinking I'm at a deficit, instead of thinking I'm lacking, you're going to turn it around and say, I'm living under the open windows of heaven. I have everything I need. I have an abundance of talent, an abundance of ideas, an abundance of strength, an abundance of health. The open windows that God's raining blessing down upon me. You've got to get rid of a lack mentality and have an abundant mentality. You may not have seen it yet, but don't worry. Let me tell you, your time is coming. God's about to do something unusual, something extraordinary, something you haven't seen. He said he would pour out blessings that you don't have room enough to contain. That means if you still got room, you haven't seen the fullness of what God is going to do in your life. He's going to give you so many opportunities. Let me tell you, you can't take them all. You're going to have to pick and choose. You'll have so many clients. You'll have so much business. You'll have to send some to your coworker. You'll have so many resources. You'll have so many savings. You'll have to pass them on to your children and your grandchildren. Overflowing blessings. Not just material things. I'm talking about so much joy that you can share joy wherever you go. So much peace, so much strength, so much stability. Instead of needing to be encouraged, you're the encourager. You're the lifter. You're the one who brings smiles to people. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, the phrase, the open windows of heaven, is found another place in Scripture. In Genesis chapter 7, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the foundations of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain on the earth was for 40 days and 40 nights. It rained 40 days and 40 nights as the windows of heaven opened. Water covered the whole earth. It wasn't just a little sprinkling. It wasn't a minor event. It was a major flood. It was a huge downpour. And when God says he's going to open the windows of heaven in your life, that doesn't mean he's just going to help you barely make it. He's going to help you just survive. He's going to help you just get through or just give you strength to get past that problem. Let me tell you that we're grateful for every blessing that we see, but that's not what we're talking about. God's talking about a flood of his goodness. He's talking about something major where you step back and you say, wow, I didn't see that coming, man. I didn't expect that to happen. There's going to be blessings you cannot contain and you cannot explain. All you can say is, man, that was the goodness of God in my life. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Like Dolores back there. Dolores was she started having blackouts in her vision. And it started out just a few seconds, and then eventually it got up to like a minute or two, just blackout. She went to the doctor. She was diagnosed with a brain aneurysm. True, Dolores? And we prayed for her at church. And she went in to have the surgery. But the doctors couldn't find the aneurysm. It had gone. It had disappeared. She never had the surgery. How did that happen? Because Dolores lives under the open windows of heaven, because she's a tither. She's living under the open windows of heaven. You've got to understand, I'm not just talking financial blessing. I'm talking about blessings in every area of your life. When God rains down healing, aneurysms can stay. When He rains down joy, depression's got to go. When He rains down favor, good breaks. Let me tell you, it'll thrust you to the next level in your life. You're not going to be able to explain how it happened. You weren't the most qualified. You weren't the next in line. You shouldn't have been chosen. But you look up and you're further than you ever dreamed. What happened? The windows of heaven opened up. God rained down increase and took you where you couldn't go on your own. Amen. Another member of our church, Joshua, I don't see him here today. Joshua, he told me that just 2 years ago, he was borrowing money from friends to pay his bills. Since he joined Ascend Church, he started tithing. He started a flooring business. He now employs 5 people. He's looking for premises to open his, expand his business. He's the blessing. I mean, he told me, I'm so booked up. I'm booked up through the end of the year next year. Let me tell you, when the windows of heaven are open above you, you're going to see things that you cannot explain. Like with Dolores, the medical report suddenly turns around. Like with Joshua, your business suddenly takes off. You suddenly break that addiction. Let me tell you, you've been faithful, you've tithed, you've given, you've served. Get ready. The windows of heaven are about to open up. God's about to do something that you never seen. In the name of Jesus, I declare this is going to be a bountiful year. This is going to be an abundant year. This is going to be a prosperous year. Problems that look permanent, they're going to suddenly turn around for you. In the name of Jesus, doors that have been closed for years, they're going to suddenly open for you. You're not going to have to go after the opportunity, because the opportunity is going to come chasing after you. In Jesus' name. Right, Mark? That all get? Can I mention what we spoke about next week? All right, I'm hanging in there. Now you got to do your part all through the day. Father, I thank you that I'm under the open windows of heaven. I thank you, you're pouring out blessings that I cannot contain, Lord. Your mind may tell you this is not going to happen for you. Nothing's going to change for you. But listen, don't believe the lies of the enemy. Just keep thanking God for what He's about to do, because praise is another thing that causes the windows of heaven to open when you begin to praise God. When you live your life worried and discouraged, complaining, groaning, griping, that keeps the rain from coming down. And you may not see how this can happen, but this is what faith is all about. God, I don't see a way, but I know you have a way. In my circumstances, I'm stuck, but I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I know, and I know I'm living under the open windows of heaven. So you get this down in your spirit. You won't be intimidated by the size of your dreams. You won't be discouraged by your problems. You won't live thinking that you're at some kind of a disadvantage. You'll have a confidence. You'll have an expectancy. You know any moment the heaven's going to open for you. In the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, when you do your part, God will do His part. He'll cause people to be good to you. He'll open doors that you cannot open by yourself. And the same God who sent provision can send healing. He can send the person of your dreams. He can send the breakthrough. You're about to see the heavens open up. God is about to surprise you. People are going to go out of their way to be good to you. Contracts, scholarships, opportunities are going to come looking for you. You're not going to have to force it to happen. You don't have to try and persuade people to be for you or to be good to you. God's going to cause it to fall into place on your behalf. So stop worrying about the legal situation. Quit losing sleep over those people at work. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. He's your vindicator. He's protecting your reputation. If you stand still, you will see the deliverance of the Lord. It's going to happen sooner than what you expected. It's going to turn out better than what you thought. In Jesus' name. You've got to let this take root down in your heart. Because you'll have thoughts that will tell you, oh, this isn't for you. Don't let your mind talk you out of it. If you're a tither, if you plant it in the house of the Lord, God has promised you that He'll open the windows of heaven and He'll pour out blessings that you cannot contain. And it goes on to say in Malachi 3 verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. The Message Bible says, I will defend you against marauders, protect your wheat fields and vegetable gardens against plunderers. That means what would have devoured opportunity in my life, what would have devoured finances in my life, what would have caused me to lose income or harm my children or spend, you know, on things that keep breaking down because you're a tither. God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I will protect you. I will guard you. Amen. Let me tell you, it's one thing when we pray. It's good when we stand against the forces of darkness. But when you're under the open windows of heaven and the creator of the universe says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for you and I'm going to guard you and I'm going to protect you, man, you don't have to live worried when you know that. You don't have to live uptight, on edge, fearful. You know you've got a protector, you've got a defender. The Most High God is standing guard over your life. Amen? There have been many times that God has rebuked the devourer that we never even knew about. He kept you from that sickness. He protected you from that accident. He kept that tree from falling on your house. He kept that supervisor from holding you back. It's good to thank God for the blessing and the promotion and the favor. But sometimes you need to thank God for what didn't happen. Amen. Thank Him that you didn't get sick. Thank Him that you didn't get laid off. Thank Him that your child didn't get in trouble. That was God behind the scenes rebuking the devourer for your sake. In Genesis chapter 1, when God created the earth, the Bible says the earth was dark and it was without form. Genesis 1 verse 3, and then God said, let there be light. And what happened? And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and He called the darkness a night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. That was the first day of creation. Now, what's interesting to me is God didn't create the sun until the fourth day. In Genesis 1:14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. And it says, so the evening and the morning were the fourth day. When did God create the sun? Fourth day. When did God say, let there be light? The first day. They had light from day one. That doesn't make any sense. How can it be? Because isn't the sun the source of our light? Isn't that true? You know what God was showing us? He can bless you without a source. He can provide light without a sun. He can promote you without people being for you. He can heal you without you having the treatment. You know, I thought about this many times. I got a revelation. Because, you know, you talk about when you go to school and you learn science and you learn creation and they teach you evolution. And they tell you, oh, you know, billions of years ago, we were dinosaurs on the earth. And the earth is this. This is how old the earth is. And it doesn't line up with the Bible, so the Bible's not true. And then I thought about it. And they've got certain techniques that they use to determine the date of the earth. Jesus turned water into wine in a moment. And it usually takes 30 years to develop wine, but Jesus did it instantly. And they drank the wine and said, this is the best wine I ever had. Let me tell you, God can create things in a second that should take millions of years. So you can't read the account of creation and try to line it up, because if you took the wine that was turned into water at the wedding where Jesus turned the wine into water and you gave it to a scientist, he might say this took 30 years, but God did it in a moment. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, you're going to have a baby without the help of a man. In the Old Testament, God brought water out of a rock. There was no lake, no stream, no source. Water out of a rock. See, don't limit what God can do. When you look at your situation, you might see all the reasons why, Pastor Steve, I can never recover from this illness. This is what my doctor said. Why you could never accomplish that dream. Why you could never break that addiction. Why you don't have, you know, what you need. Thanks, Miguel. God is not limited by what you don't have. God is not limited by what you see or don't see. God doesn't have a traditional source. He's God. He is unlimited. When he needs light, he doesn't wait for the sun. He speaks and he creates light without the sun. What God has destined for you, he can do it without a bank, without the treatment, without the experience, without the support. He may not do it in the traditional way. What God has planned, let me tell you what God has planned for you. He doesn't go and check your bank account. He doesn't check with your friends, see if they approve. He speaks and it becomes. He's going to bless you without a source. You're going to see things happen and you're going to think to yourself, how did I get here? How did I know how to do this? How did we get this new building? It was God blessing us without a source. It was the windows of heaven opening up. Amen. Amen. There's a story in 2 Kings. The Syrian army had besieged Israel, which created a famine in the land. And that things were so bad that a donkey's head was selling for 80 pieces of silver and a cup of dove's dung. When's the last time you had a cup of dove's dung? It was selling for 5 pieces of silver, a cup of dove's dung. Not dove's chocolate, dove's dung. And the prophet Elisha, he told them in 2 Kings 7, he said, listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow, in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will only cost 1 piece of silver. And 12 quarts of barley grain will only cost 1 piece of silver. The officer assisting the king said to the man of God, that couldn't happen. Even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. But Elisha replied, you will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it. Samaria, Israel, besieged by the Syrians. There were 4 lepers, 4 men with leprosy, who were at the city gates. And they said, why should we sit here waiting to die? We're going to starve if we stay here. We might as well go and surrender to the Syrians. If they kill us, we would have died anyway. So they got up that evening and they went to the camp of the Syrians. But something amazing happened. The Lord caused the Syrian army to hear these 4 men. He made it sound like the sound of a great army. The Syrians heard horses, chariots, thousands of men. And they thought that Israel had hired another army to come help them. And they fled. They ran in panic. They left everything behind. They left their tents, their horses, their donkeys, their food, their clothes, their silver, their gold. They just took off running. And the lepers walk in and they find the camps empty. And they start eating the food and taking the silver and the gold and putting on new clothes. And they felt bad to keep the good news to themselves. So they went back to the city and they told everybody. And it says in verse 16, then the people of Samaria rushed out and plundered the Syrian camp. So it was true that 6 quarts of choice flour were sold that day for 1 piece of silver. And 12 quarts of barley grain were sold for 1 piece of silver, just as the Lord had promised. That's God opening the windows of heaven. the officer who said that could never happen, even if God opened the windows of heaven. It's funny he used those words. He saw it. He saw it happen, but he never ate any of it because he was at the gate of the city. And when the people rushed out the city, he was crushed to death. He died. He didn't eat any of it. It was like the windows of heaven opened up. They came into an abundance, but they didn't see a source. God's going to make things happen where you don't see a source. It's not going to be traditional. You got to stop worrying because you don't see how your situation can work out. God's ways are not our ways. The Bible says His ways are higher than our ways, better than our ways. Sometimes we're waiting for the sun for light, and God says, I don't need the sun. I just speak, and it happens. In Acts chapter 8, there was an Ethiopian man. He traveled a great distance from Jerusalem. He was on his way to worship in the temple, and he was a treasurer for Queen Candace of Ethiopia. He was on his way back home. He was riding his chariot, and he was reading from the book of Isaiah, and a man named Philip had been in Samaria. He was having a great revival there, and in Acts 8:26, the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Thanks, Miguel. I'm sure Philip must have thought this didn't make much sense to him. Things were going great in Samaria. He's having a major revival in Samaria. The whole city's been affected. Now he's supposed to leave and go down into the desert. But the Bible says in verse 27, he arose and he went. And behold, there was a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and he'd come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning, and he was sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So he took off running, man, full speed, caught up with the chariot, and he heard the man reading from the book of Isaiah. And he asked the man if he understood what he was reading. The man said, I don't understand it. And he invited Philip, come sit up in the chariot. And Philip began to explain to him how Isaiah was talking about Jesus and how Jesus came as our Savior. And Philip started sharing the good news with this man. He started witnessing. The man was so excited. He saw some water and he asked the driver to stop the chariot. And he asked Philip to baptize him right there and then. His whole life was changed. That one encounter changed this man's whole life. Here's what my point. The man wasn't looking for Philip. He didn't even know Philip. Philip chased him down. And it was an unexpected blessing. He was just minding his own business, riding in his chariot, and out of nowhere, Philip showed up and gave him the insight that took him to the next level. It really, his life was changed. Like that man, because you're a tither, because you're honoring God, God's going to have the right people search you out. He's going to cause the right breaks find you. You may not realize it, but right now, there's a Philip chasing your chariot right now. There's a Philip coming after you right now. What do I mean? There are blessings that God has ordained to track you down. People who will use their influence and their experience to push you forward and help you go where you couldn't go on your own. There's some Philips coming your way. What's interesting to me is this man was leaving the temple when Philip found him. He just left the temple. Do you know when you take time to go to the house of God, don't be surprised if when you get home or sometime this week or sometime this month, a Philip shows up. Something unusual happens, an unexpected blessing. It's because you're under the open windows of heaven. When I look back over my life, I can see the Philips. I didn't finish high school. I'm embarrassed to say that. I didn't finish high school. I dropped out of school in the 11th grade. I was held back in the 10th grade. Not because I was stupid, because I was lazy and I was distracted. I thought life was a party. I got saved in 10th grade. That's when I met Jesus. And then everything changed. But I was so far gone, academically speaking, that I dropped out in the 11th grade and I went and got a job working at the bank. And I'd just become a Christian. And Jill and I just started dating. And I started tithing, honoring God. I was making $100 a week. And I started tithing $10. And about 14 months later, I got a job as a furniture salesman selling furniture in a shopping mall. Now I was making $200 a week. One day I was walking through the shopping mall and I saw a man setting up this beautiful furniture display. And I felt something inside me prompt me to go talk to the man. Now, in those days, I was much more shy than I am now. In those days, you wouldn't have got me up speaking in front of people like this or just go up to a stranger. I was much more shy. Now, you know, those days are gone forever. But I just felt this strong, I must go talk to this man. So I went over to him and I introduced myself to him. And it turned out that he was a Christian. His name was Norman Backus. And he and his four brothers owned a chain of furniture stores, real high-end furniture stores. And one of his salesmen had just resigned, and he offered me the job. We hit it off, and I had to go in and interview, but I got the job very fast. And I went from making $200 a week to $500 a week. I was 19 years old, and this is back in 1983, and $500, let me... I was making more than people who graduated and came out of college. I didn't finish high school. Plus, we ended up with a whole apartment full of amazing furniture. Let me tell you, that man was a Philip to me. It was the beginning of a journey in my life of seeing blessings poured out on my life. When we were 20 years old, we built our first house. And 2 years later, we sold it. We made a $65,000 profit after 2 years. I have experienced tremendous favor and blessing since I started tithing. And I was 17 years old. I have seen blessings chase me down. Like this building that you're sitting in right now. The owner of this building called me, saw me on television, called me, and offered to sell us this building. And he said, you don't need a bank. I'm going to finance it. You don't need any money down. Let me tell you, this was a Philip blessing that came after it. Came chasing after me. A Philip blessing. The scripture says in Deuteronomy 28, it shall come to pass. Say, it shall come to pass. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessings going to come on you. Blessings going to overtake you. In fact, another translation, the Contemporary English Bible, says all these blessings will come upon you and find you if you obey the Lord your God's voice. The Message Bible says all these blessings will come down on you and spread out beyond you. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you will only let me help you, if you will only obey, then I will make you rich. Job 36:11 says, if they listen and obey God, they will be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives. All their days will be pleasant. Let me tell you, when you keep God first, and when you honor God, and you obey Him, when you're a tither, then because you're under the open windows of heaven, blessings will overtake you. They'll catch you by surprise. And you need to get ready. Tell your neighbor, get ready. Get ready. Tell them, get ready. There's some Phillips about to show up in your life. There's some good breaks that you didn't see coming. There are people going to go out of their way to be good to you. Opportunity is going to thrust you the next level in your life. You couldn't have made it happen like that Ethiopian man. You didn't have the connections. You didn't even know them. It was the hand of God in your life. Maybe you're single here and you're believing to meet the right person. Let me tell you, you don't have to force things to happen. You don't have to try and convince people to like you. You don't have to compromise your values. Just stay on the high road. Keep honoring God. Keep obeying God, and He'll have the right people find you. Philip is on the way. Somebody better than you can imagine. For you men, Phyllis is on the way. You don't have to Let me tell you, you don't have to seek after people. Just seek after God. Put him first. He'll bring divine connections, the right people that will move you further and further into the destiny God has for you. In 2 Kings chapter 18, as I wrap this up, there had been a drought in Samaria for 3.5 years. No water, no rain, the crops dried up. I mean, people had little food, struggling to survive. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, it says, it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year and said, go present yourself to Ahab as the king, and I will send rain on the earth. And so in verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and then he bowed down on the ground and he put his face between his knees. He's praying. See, the prophet Elijah could have said, God, it's not fair. I'm a giver. I'm serving you, but I'm not under the open windows of heaven. I'm living in a drought. I'm struggling. But instead of complaining, Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel and he began to thank God and he began to worship God. And he got down on his knees and he began to thank God. Thank you, Lord. The rain is coming. I can just imagine Elijah saying, Lord, I want to thank you. The rain is on the way. Thank you. You're changing things in my favor. He sent out his assistant to see if there were any clouds in the sky. And the man came back and basically he said, in effect, sorry, Elijah, your praise isn't doing any good. There aren't any clouds. This is when many people give up. They get discouraged. Steve, I've been giving, man. I've been coming to church. I've been helping out. Nothing changed. I'm still in a drought. Let me tell you, these things don't necessarily happen overnight. You go from one level of blessing to the next level of blessing. When Elijah heard the news, there were no clouds. Instead of being discouraged, I imagine he turned up the praise. Lord, I want to thank you that you're opening the windows of heaven. I want to thank you, Lord, that rain is on the way. Elijah sent his messenger back again and again to check if there were clouds. 6 times. And 6 times the messenger came back with the same answer. No clouds. In verse 44, then it came to pass the 7th time that he said, there is a cloud. It's as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. And so he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rains. You better get out of here. The rain's coming. And it happened in the meantime. The sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away, and he went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. He outran Ahab's chariot, man. Let me tell you, when you're under the open windows of heaven, God will help you accomplish things you could never accomplish by yourself. Can you say amen? Philip caught up to his chariot to help the Ethiopian man, and Elijah outran a chariot. But you see, Elijah heard rain in his spirit before he saw the rain on the outside. God always puts things in your spirit before they come to pass. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's when you've got to latch on to the promise of God in the middle of the struggle, in the middle of the lack. You've got to hear abundance. In the loneliness, you've got to hear friendships. In the sickness, you've got to hear health. In trouble and opposition, you've got to hear victory in your life. The things you've been hearing in your spirit, the abundance, the dreams, the healing, the child coming back home, meeting the right person, you've heard it on the inside, like Elijah, is about to suddenly happen. You've been praying. You've been thanking God. You've been doing the right thing. Get ready. The heaven's about to open up. You're going to see an abundance of favor, an abundance of blessing. The drought's not just going to come to an end. You're going to outrun the chariot. You're going to go further than you would have imagined. You're going to discover ability you didn't even know you had on the inside of you. God's going to bless you without a source. Stop focusing on what you don't have. Let me tell you, all Elijah had was a little cloud. No chance for rain in the natural, but we serve a supernatural God, and he can give water without rain. He can give light without the sun. He can give healing without the treatment. He can give promotion when everybody's against you. Can you say amen? All through the day, you're going to say, Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that I'm living under the open windows of heaven and have an abundant mentality and honor God by tithing and by putting Him first. And if you do, I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, God is about to pour out blessings that you cannot contain. Phillips are about to catch up to your chariot. Unexpected favor and divine connections and healings and breakthroughs, the fullness of your destiny. I declare in the name of Jesus, lift your hand, say, Father, I thank you that because I am a tither, I am living under the open windows of heaven. In the name of Jesus, say, Lord, I am expecting blessings to chase after me. I am expecting increase. Thank you, Lord. You rebuke the devourer for me in Jesus' name. Can you say amen, somebody? Come on, give God some thanks and praise today. I want to encourage you, man, if you maybe used to tithe, there was a time when you were tithing and you stopped, I want to encourage you to get back and begin to honor God. If you've never tithed before, I know it may seem like a huge step, but let me tell you right now, as I look back on my life, I am so thankful that I took that step, started tithing that $10. Who knows? We taught our children, we taught our kids how to tithe with their allowance. I don't have any kids calling me, asking me for money to help me. Help me, Dad. Help me, Dad. No. Every one of them, they all are blessed. Come on. Praise the Lord.
Say one thing, just real quick. That word is so good. Aren't you glad for the Word of God?
Praise God.
I love the truth of God's Word because there's always treasure to be found in it, you know? And it reaches every area of your life. But I was listening to, I was feeding on the Word this week, and I was listening to Kenneth Hagin speaking, and he was telling a story about there was a minister who was a young man in England at the time that Smith Wigglesworth was ministering there. And have you ever heard the name of Smith Wigglesworth? A great, mighty, mighty man of faith.
Well, they don't really know who he is. But Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber who couldn't read, and he received Jesus. And the only book he could read was the Bible. He never learned to read.
But he was a real fanatical
and
faith.
And he had this amazing, strong faith and amazing miracles and healings. There were 23 people documented raised from the dead when he prayed for them. 23 people raised from the dead in his ministry.
Right.
And so that's who you're talking about.
Yeah, so this young man said, and this impressed on me, and I just wanted to share it with you today. This young man said that he had been in a meeting with Smith Wigglesworth where he was teaching on faith, and he, for 10 minutes straight, he walked from one end of the platform to the other end of the platform, and the only thing he said was, faith is an act. Then he walked to the other side of the platform and he said, faith is an act. Faith is an act. And he did that for 10 minutes. And he was trying to impress upon people that it's one thing to say, I believe all that stuff, but faith requires action.
That's right.
In anything you believe in God for. But in the area, now we're just hearing concerning finances. And I was lying in bed last night and I said, faith is an act. And we're trusting God for a sum of money. Us two. We're trusting God for a sum of money. And I said, you know what? Faith is an act. Let's write a check and tithe in faith on the amount that we're trusting God for. Faith is an act. So I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you to act on your faith however you feel to act on your faith. Nadine, our daughter, I know her business. I'll tell her business. I don't know all your business. But I know where she was earning a certain amount of money. She was out of nursing school, been in the nursing program as a nurse for a couple of years. And she started to tithe without telling anybody else. She started to tithe what she wanted to earn. So whatever she was earning, she just added to it and her tithe, she and God knew. She was saying, I want that much. I want to earn that much. Well, she'd only been nursing for 3 years, and she had, long story short, a door opened for her to go into a position. The position had not even existed before, but they decided, the management decided that they were going to create this position, and they wanted 4 nurses to come into it, 3 or 4, they pulled Nadine in as one of them. She applied, she got it. She'd only been a nurse 3 years, and because the other girls had salaries that were way above hers, they had to raise her salary, jump it years. What it would have taken years to grow. And so that's what God can do.
That's right.
That's like turning water into wine. That's acceleration. So just act on your faith and see what God will do in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Why don't you pray over that? Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Don't look how much it is.
It's dangerous to let your wife have the checkbook. Do you know that?
You won't be sorry.
You like what? So does she. Praise the Lord. We're gonna honor the Lord today with our tithes and with our offering. I mean, I'm looking at Teresa. I can tell you a story because I know stories here, you see. I know stories here. Teresa, single mom, raised her kids really financially on your own. You were married, but your husband never really worked much, or that's in the past. But the point is that you are such a faithful and a big giver as a single mom, and God just blesses you in ways beyond what you would have ever imagined. Amen. Amen. Barry, we trust Him. We pray for you with your company, your business. Barry's involved in a business, and they have the COVID testing, and you know it's a huge. They've got countries that want to order it, and you're a tither. The windows of heaven are open above you. In the name of Jesus, we call in big contracts for you. We call it in, Tom. We call those in. We call those businesses contracts in the name of Jesus. You're a tither. God has given you ideas that have made millions of dollars, and I believe the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Amen. So we're gonna honor the Lord. I want you to get your tithe ready. There's different ways you can give. I'm sure most of you know that, but of course you can give by check or card, and you can also give by online. You can go online and give at ascendchurch.us. You can give by Cash App. We have people doing that. You can give by text giving now, 833-768-6722. You can give by PayPal. But we're going to honor the Lord today. I want you to hold it in your hand. We're going to pray over this, and we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to declare the windows of heaven open above your life. And if you're watching this online, get in. Be a part of this. Doing church online. Honor the Lord and tithe. Are you ready today? Is everyone ready to give today? Father, we thank you, Lord, that it is your will that to bless us. It's your will to prosper us. It's your will to bring increase. It's your will that blessings would overtake us. And Lord, I thank you today as we honor you, as we tithe, we're declaring that you're first in our life and that we trust you. We devote it to you. I thank you, Lord, for the windows of heaven that are open above every tithe. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for pouring out blessing after blessing, for blessing people beyond their wildest dreams. I thank you, Lord, that you rebuke the devourer. I thank you for divine protection. I thank you, Lord, for supernatural favor. I thank you, Lord, for opening doors that seemed impossible. I thank you, Father, that blessings are chasing after us. In the name of Jesus, we give you the praise. And everybody said amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Ushers, are we ready? I want to remind you that We have a special guest with us on November the 14th, 2 weeks from today. Prophet Ed Trout is going to be with us, and he's going to be here Sunday morning. And we're doing a special 6 p.m. service with Prophet Ed Trout. I encourage you to come to both. The reason why we do a second service is because Prophet Ed prophesies over people, and we want to give you an opportunity to receive a word from the Lord. That's why I encourage you to come to both. Next week, we were scheduled to have Clayton Jennings. I had to postpone it, so we postponed Clayton Jennings to another date, so we don't have Clayton Jennings next Sunday. We have Prophet Ed Trout on the 14th of November. It's going to be great. Amen. I want to thank all of our wonderful servant leaders who served in the house today. I want to thank all of our volunteers who helped in Children's Church and ushers and greeters and media. Come on, where is Allison? Well, she's supposed to be making an announcement for us for Thursday. We have prayer every other Thursday. We have a night of prayer and worship that Abel leads it. Do you want to make the announcement? Allison was going to say something.
Yeah,
but Allison, she's back in Children's Church.
Yeah, Allison was going to come.
Did I finish early or something?
Well, I didn't know if you were going to do the altar call. Or she was going to minister, so she's going to change up. But yeah,
here she is.
We're meeting again this Thursday, and if you guys haven't come to visit for Thursday night prayer, I'd encourage you to do it. It's really a,
yeah. Yes.
Sorry, I'm out of breath. These kids. Okay, if you haven't come to church prayer, you need to come, all right? We're not going to ask you to get up and speak. We're not going to ask you to stand up and pray. I know a lot of people don't like to be in front of people or be heard. Sorry, I'm out of breath. But we're not going to ask you to do that. It's quiet. Nobody will hear you pray. Nobody will hear you sing. You can sit in the corner. We won't bother you. But if you know, it says Jeremiah 3:33 or 33:3 that, you know, God wants to reveal hidden things to you. And when is the last time at home, let's be honest, you took an hour and sat and just spent time in the presence of God?
Right.
I am recently now working from home. We sold our office, and it is hard to work from home. I just look around, and I'm like, oh, dish, oh, book, oh, TV, oh, you know, you just see the million things that are around you, and it's easy to get distracted. And how much more important, I mean, yes, work is important, but the presence of God.
Absolutely.
To just sit and listen.
Yes.
And let it saturate you, and just to meditate on the Lord. I mean, there's nothing more important in life. And if we're not doing that, I mean, we should be doing that daily, but let's be honest, you know, you wake up late, you got kids, you got work, you got school, you got stuff. So at least, you know, come on a Thursday, check it out. I promise you, you're going to love it. Every second Thursday, this Thursday coming up, you're going to love it. You're going to be like, wow. That was awesome. You don't want to leave. When you're in the presence of the Lord like that, I mean, yes, we get the presence of the Lord here at church corporately on Sunday, but it's so much more awesome and different when you're just in your own, spending that time with the Lord. So come. You're going to love it. I guarantee it. Thank you.
Amen.
7 p.m.
7 p.m. this Thursday, because it's every other Thursday, and you go up the stairs. We have a room where we go and pray every other Thursday night. Stand up with me. Tell your neighbor, I'm living under the open windows of heaven. Say, the windows of heaven are open above me. Say, God is blessing me. Amen. We love you. We'll see you. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless everybody. One, two, one, two.